telling us that ISIS is the end of the world, right? That it's literally the apocalypse personified with these supermen about to sweep down on Baghdad. Well, in that case, Assad is certainly a lesser evil. The other question, though, the U.S. politics on this, the other coup, in addition to the anti-Maliki coup that is the goal of this operation, is a cold coup around Obama. And McCain came out and said it last week. He demanded that Obama fire all of his own loyalists. And of course, these are, in my view, bad people. But still, those are Obama's people. And bring in General Petraeus, General David Petraeus of the Pentagon and the CIA and Wall Street. He now works for Kohlberg Kravis Roberts. He's got a financial angel with multi-billion dollar deep pockets. And of course, Petraeus personifies the danger of Bonapartism here in the United States, of a kind of a dictatorial seizure of power. And we know that this clique is now super active. The neocons are mobilized as never before. And I'm talking about Kimberly Kagan at the Institute for the Study of War, Frederick Kagan at the American Enterprise Institute, Donald Kagan at the Brookings Institution, and his charming wife, Victoria Nuland, who has disgusted the world with her vulgarity. The goal of this is coming on the heels of Benghazi, which was an anti-Obama October surprise designed to bring in Romney and the neocons, but it failed. After this Bo Bergdahl hysteria, which we've had, this is now the third wave of a neocon counteroffensive designed to push out whoever Obama has that doesn't want to go along with it and put in neocons. And I would also add, Kerry of Skull and Bones, the Secretary of State, and Samantha Power, the humanitarian bomber who represents the U.S. at the United Nations. These are people who have been scheming to get away to bomb Syria now for months. And it's been on the front page of the Washington Post. And they have actually brought in Petraeus and this General Keane, who is a friend of this entire group, to try to find ways to push Obama towards war with Syria.
Okay, I'd like to get your reaction, Carol Gould, to some of the things Dr. Topley talked about there, but we do have to give our guests the respect. We had so many, our Facebook viewers, the respect since they posted so many comments about this topic tonight. Let's take a listen to some of them.
America is behind all wars in the Arab countries. I think the U.S. will send aircraft carriers, submarines, destroyers, jets, and bombers near Iran to show they are going to attack those terrorists, but they may invade Iran. An absolutely wrong decision made by Iraqi government. How long should the Iraqi government beg for their own security from other countries like the USA? If the Iraqi army makes sacrifices and defeats the terrorist group, they would become a hero among the Arab countries. Nobody can't stop these freedom fighters. The U.S. is responsible for all the turmoil. They have founded the ISIL, so how can they help end this unrest? Keep the U.S. out. Let them solve their own problems.
Some of the viewer comments there. Carol Gould, I was caught off guard before I came on for this program. When I looked at the monitors we have inside the newsroom, and I happened to glance over at CNN, and their little CG, as it's called, in the bottom said, reshaping the Middle East. And this sounded so much like what the era of George Bush and Condoleezza Rice, of which they talked about redrawing the maps in the Middle East. And it appears that's what they're doing, except for the stumbling blocks that they've experienced. We could talk about, of course, the Arab Spring, where the revolutions were stopped on their tracks, mainly through Saudi Arabia, not only in the kingdom, but also in Bahrain and also in Yemen. And of course, most recently now, we see what defeats they have had in Syria. Is this part of that plan still, the U.S. and its regional allies, such as Saudi Arabia, pushing, redrawing and reshaping the Middle East with Iran on their mind?
Well, first of all, you're talking about a group of people who haven't been in power for many years. Condoleezza Rice, no matter how much Dick Cheney can shout as he's been doing in the past few weeks, he doesn't have any authority. I think we're overblowing this whole situation. Let me go back to this issue of Cameron and Parliament. The two big allies who could reshape the Middle East, the United Kingdom and the United States, have terrible financial problems. I say this whenever I'm on these programs. You have to take into account that Obama and Cameron in the UK are dealing with their own country's huge financial problems. Technically, both countries are nearly bankrupt. They'd like to show that their economies are recovering, but there's been a terrible financial meltdown in both countries, and that is why the majority of people in both countries do not want a military engagement. And, you know, they are democracies. Obama isn't a dictator, neither is Cameron. They do listen to the people. And as much as the people who are getting a little bit over the top about this situation, that Saudi Arabia is guiding everything, that the neocons in America are taking over the situation, at the end of the day, both countries are democracies. And Obama cannot commit a huge military involvement, neither can Cameron. And at the ultimate stage of this crisis, which has, I believe, I agree with your guest, been terribly overblown into hysteria by the extreme right in America, diplomacy has to come in. There has to be some kind of a cooling down with not just the US and the UK, but the allies, NATO, and other countries. The Middle East has become, as we know, as you've mentioned, the Arab Spring has degenerated into chaos in several countries, and there is still a great deal of internecine strife. But I think what Obama, who is an idealist, would like to see is some sort of a settlement, some kind of a calming down in what is going on in Iraq. Because what we don't want, no one wants another regional war, and neither country, UK or US, can afford it.
Well, there's obviously a spillover that has happened by some accounts, Dr. Tarpley, over what has occurred in Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, this situation, these ISIL are, 60 miles or kilometers, I forget, away from Baghdad, and you have the threats that they have set against the holy Shia shrines in Iraq, such as Karbala and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And that puts another dimension of the dangerous predicament that it puts the region in. When you're talking about, for example, the Shia shrines, Iran has come out and said, we will defend the Shia shrines. If they were to carry out on that threat, everything would change, wouldn't it? What direction would that go? How will things play out, do you think, Dr. Tarpley?
Yeah.
I'll get an answer from you, Carol.
That, of course, would
Dr.
be
Tarpley first.
Extremely dangerous. I'm afraid, though, that I don't share the idea that democracy will guarantee a happy ending. And I think it's wrong to impute a rationality to the process here, Washington, that it does not have. What we have is a war psychosis in the entire elite, neocons and the humanitarian bombers or responsibility to protect crowd, the Samantha Power types. They are horrified. They wanted to bomb Syria. They didn't get to bomb Syria. They never wanted to negotiate with Iran. They wanted to bomb Iran. And the other question, of course, Putin. They're humiliated. They're apoplectic about Ukraine. They're afraid to confront Putin in Ukraine because of Russia's Topol-M intercontinental ballistic missiles. And therefore, we have the line coming from Anne-Marie Slaughter, formerly of the State Department, saying, if you want to confront Putin, you confront him in Syria, where he's much weaker than he would be in Ukraine. And one other, I think, big danger is in the State Department now, there's this idea that Maliki has to go. This takes me back to Vietnam in 1963, when Averill Harriman and a couple of other people in the State Department decided that President Diem was counterproductive, and they arranged to have a coup and his assassination. And of course, the people they brought in were perfectly incompetent and indeed set the stage for this military debacle. So these are people who have learned nothing. And one of the things that Professor Stephen Cohen was saying the other day at a Russian seminar is an anti-war opposition in the United States is non-existent compared to the Cold War. And compared to the time 10 years ago when you had Bush in the White House. So the doors are relatively open to adventures. And it means the neocons surrounding Obama, who is a weak and passive figure, of course, right? A puppet president of Wall Street. But
right.
Surrounding him and pushing him in the direction of something unthinkable.
Well, Kara Gould, reaching the end of the program, you know, when I'm stepping back and I'm listening to Dr. Tarpley, I can't help but think how many countries the U.S. is involved in that is in some form or another involved in violence. Ukraine, we could talk about their pivot to the Southeast Asia. No violence there, but the threats coming from and the friction between the U.S. and China. We look at their involvement, for example, in Syria. And then, of course, now we're looking at Iraq. And going back to 2003 and the invasion, it doesn't seem like the U.S. has been successful. We could also mention Afghanistan. And what they have left behind in this war on terror is fueled extremism and terrorism that at one point or another, by many accounts based on the intelligence community in the U.S., is going to backfire and threaten the United States. What type of legacy is the U.S. leaving behind with their interventions in this case in point with these countries?
Well, look, I wrote an article about 2 years ago about the situation in Libya. And there was some involvement, the UK, the US, the allies were trying to release Libya from the grips of a dictator, Gaddafi. When that happened, and actually it was the people of Libya in the end who achieved that, people were coming onto British television, onto a program called Newsnight, Libyan spokespeople, complaining bitterly, why did the Allies intervene? Why did the UK and US? You've destroyed my country. There's a limit to how much I can take as a political observer, political commentator, of no matter what the U.S. Let me rephrase it. Whatever the US or UK do, or France, the Allies, and NATO, these countries complain, you've destroyed our country, you've done nothing for us. There have been improvements in Afghanistan.
Unfortunately, I got to jump in. We just don't have the time.
The US
we're fresh
does,
out of time. I apologize. Carol Gould there, author and political commentator, talking to us from London. Thank you very much. And Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, author and historian, talked to us from Washington. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. It's bye-bye for now.